This is the official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the official EFL podcast with me, Mark Clement. And first of all, congratulations, not only to Bolton Wanderers for securing the biggest ever win in the Papa John's Trophy final, but also to Bolton and Plymouth Argyle supporters. A Wembley crowd of 79,389 was the highest anywhere in Europe last weekend. It's a bumper Easter weekend's fixture schedule we're looking forward to on this week's episode of the official EFL podcast. We enjoyed his company so much a couple of weeks ago. We thought, who better to give us his thoughts on the final month of the EFL season than the former MK Dons, Charlton Athletic and Oxford United manager Carl Robinson. And actually, Carl, we must just talk about the Papa John's Trophy final. I mean, first of all, Plymouth Argyle, big build-up, thousands and thousands and thousands of fans. And then you get there and it's just not your day.
Plymouth are a very unique football club. That Green Army, how they travel and how sort of, it's almost like that walled area of the only football club and that sort of one-dimensional approach to this is our team, this is our only team, and we go up and down the country supporting it. They're two really good sets of fans and two fantastic stadiums to go to play in away games as well. But actually, I'm very close to Sam Allardyce and knowing what he did at Bolton and knowing how he holds that in such high regard and seeing him going down through the leagues and now obviously in the top six, are they just in the top six and winning a trophy at the weekend? It's brilliant for them and it's another big, big football club in the lower levels of our game.
Yeah, and two brilliant, young, up-and-coming managers as well. We had them both on at the same time last week. It was a great episode. You can listen back to it, find it with your podcast provider. Although, of course, it will have references to the game that's coming up and we now know the result. But there's lots of other good stuff in there as well. How important are these Easter fixtures?
I used to love them. I used to absolutely love this time of year. The lawnmowers are going again, Clem. The smell of the grass being cut. The weather's slightly turning. Six games to go. You know, you've done a third of them after this weekend. So only two thirds to go of the games that you've got left. It is This is just what I am missing it this weekend. I will miss it this weekend. I really, really will. And whether you're at the top of the league or whether you're at the bottom of the league, these 3 days, I think it's really, I like the way we've gone from Saturday to Friday, and probably most of our games are Friday and the Monday now gives us two extra days to perform, because at the end of the day, people want to pay money and they want to see players who are playing with that energy levels, which they do nowadays. So that's a good positive factor. That's 4 or 5 years old now. But these are brilliant, brilliant days. And this is the Easter weekend is one of the most exciting, I think, in the EFL season.
And that's regardless of whether, as you say, you're with a team challenging at the top, regardless of whether you're a team trying to get out of it at the bottom. What? And even if you're mid-table and you're starting to plan for next season, is that almost a nice place to be if you've accepted there's no movement of division that you are able?
You can enjoy them. You can enjoy them.
Can you? Right, okay.
And, I was speaking to Matt Taylor today. And we were speaking about this Easter weekend while playing golf. As you can see, it burnt a little bit.
Some of us have been indoors.
And it was that we were speaking about this weekend and about sometimes you've got nothing to play for and it's so relaxed and the summer's on its way and you're getting ready for the next season and the players are starting to be told whether they're going to be kept on. But then when you're competing for the playoffs or automatic promotion, you can't really plan because you're in the playoffs. It's going to be an extra 3 weeks. If you're not in the playoffs, you go automatically, you can celebrate. And when you're down there, it's very, very nerve-wracking. But you can change the fortune so quickly. And I think in League One, it's almost done now in relation to the bottom four, in my view. But they're certainly the top end of the table. I really do think that there's a real big scramble. And the Championship is just incredible. Like,
Well, I'll tell you what, let's start there. And we're going to start at the bottom of the championship. I will just say, by the way, the Matt Taylor that Carl is referring to is the ex-Bolton West Ham player, ex-Walsall manager. Rotherham fans, who were a little bit concerned that their manager was out having a beano on the golf course with Carl Robinson today when he should have been preparing for the Good Friday game against West Brom. Fear not. He meant the other one. I want to start at the bottom of the championship because Reading have been given a 6-point deduction for breaching an EFL business plan that was agreed for a previous profit and sustainability rule breach. And it brings them right into that relegation mix. I think their rivals were expecting it, but obviously you started your management career emerging from working with Paul Ince. You were there visiting him yesterday. I mean, I feel a bit for him. It's obviously past misdemeanors of catching up with the club.
What you can and can't spend, we're driven by the success, and we all want to be successful nowadays. We all have that goal of being in the Premier League, and that lucrative opportunity changes the landscape for football. And I think that sometimes we can overspend with that, not because we're being too disrespectful, but we're so driven to try and get these clubs where you want to get them. And sometimes if you don't sell players after bringing players in, that can sort of put you in a difficult position.
I mean, come on then. How do you look at the bottom of the Skybet Championship table then as we go into this Easter weekend?
Neil Warnock, right? I hope he listens to this. What a pain he is for everyone else. A pain in the backside. Because you know what, right? I love Neil. And he's a tremendous character. I remember we played QPR once and we got the sack after the game. And I think he'd come back to haunt me all the time from then on. And I remember when he went to Rotherham, and Rotherham, mate, were absolutely done, if you remember. Yeah. I think they won multiple amounts of games and ended up staying up. We were all shocked and no one knew where it came from. And now he's doing it, and it'd be very ironic, but if they end up getting out of it and Cardiff end up dropping in, one of the teams he actually took to the Premier League.
Yeah.
So a team he took to the Premier League, he could fundamentally, if things don't go forward, I'm not saying it will happen, but they could end up dropping into the bottom three. And would you put a pass Neil Warnock, mate? You know him very well and you've worked with him multiple times.
I was with him last week. I mean, let me just remind you, I'm a Middlesbrough fan. I was not expecting that. Two astonishing goals just after half-time as well that gave them the lead in that game. I was not expecting that at all. I think it's just his man management style, as he sort of told me in a piece we did for BBC Telly. I think, you know, anybody that thinks he's just a one-trick pony ranting and raving is sorely mistaken. The way in which he brings an entire club together by chatting to everybody and drawing them into the fold is quite mesmerising, actually, Carl.
Remember when they said you laugh at this. I always have a story with people, but obviously two of my staff, Craig Short and Chris Short, started, that was at Scarborough, and they went from Scarborough to Notts County.
Yeah.
They were part of all of the promotions that he had. I said in the early days, and maybe I'm giving a secret out here, he literally just went man for man all over the football pitch. I said, they went to Old Trafford once off the back of with Notts County, and he was told to follow people everywhere, and you'd end up as a centre-back running past your full-back because that's where your striker went. And he sort of, he said, just do it, son. He said, the problem you had is there was a gap of about 40 yards for Roy Keane to run through. He wasn't back. He said, you'll fall for him and you'll hurt for him and you respect him. And anyone who plays for Neil will tell you they love him. Anybody who's played against Neil's teams will tell you we all hate him. And he's brilliant. He's synonymous with the EFL. He is, I think he'll go down as one of our greatest ever managers in the EFL terms. And again, if he manages to do this, this is probably going to be up there with one of his old clubs as well. Yeah. It'd be probably one of his biggest achievements, really. And I think I've got a funny feeling. I don't know how he does it because I had these completely and utterly done, 100% done, by the way, at one stage. It wouldn't surprise me if he keeps them up.
Rotherham just above there. QPR need the turnaround of all turnarounds because their fall from grace has been as spectacular as anything I think I've known in my many years covering the leagues. Gareth Ainsworth says of his 5 defeats in 6 and the club's, let's be honest, collapsed since the 21st of October when they were top. They were massively overachieving at that point, says Gareth.
I just felt that so soon after what goes on, I think Critch got left to sort of pick up one or two things when players are being signed by a manager and contracts being done. I bet you that's a bit of a kick in the teeth for some of the players, especially the fans as well. I was speaking the other day, mate. I've got this thing at the moment.
Do they not get paid, Carl? Do players not get paid?
No,
not players that have contracts to honour? You know, they've signed for a football club. Do they not have to turn up every week? Or do they not have to put a shift in? Regardless of who signed them at the club, they've still got a job to do for those.
No, I disagree to an extent because at the end of the day, you go through the whole of pre-season and whenever it was so right in pre-season, which you could obviously see it was right because the pre-season, how they started, you're full of confidence, you're on the front foot, things, everyone getting excited. All of a sudden, your talisman, your manager leaves. That's a hard... You're right what you're saying. Yes, they are paid to perform. But all of a sudden, the process of pre-season, when you get it right, Clem, it's so unique and you can feel it as a manager and a player because it clicks and the formations and the fluidity. And by the way, I've been in pre-season that got it wrong. And probably when the manager gets the sack, it's easy for the manager to come in to change it because the players didn't believe in the process. And then it fundamentally, the manager loses his job. But when they were in that middle of doing so well... Obviously, what Bealey did was an unbelievable pre-season, started unbelievably well, and all of a sudden, then you've got a manager to come in who's then got to find his own unique way, and then there's a process of them 2 or 3 weeks where he's trying to bed himself in, but his old coaching staff went, he's got to bring in coaching staff, and from then on, the players have to take responsibility then, Clem, 100%. You can't put it all on the manager, and certainly what you can't do right now, for me, is put it on Gareth either. Everyone's been craving the type of manager with Gareth is. And if anybody, mate, and people don't know him, if anybody wants to put a man in charge who can get that little bit of grit and that... You did an interview before we played them in the playoff final. I know you come down and speak to me after you spoke to him. And we actually spoke about, like, you'd want to run through a brick wall for Gareth because that's his personality.
Yeah.
But if anybody's going to get it out of him, it's going to be him. And sadly, the performers haven't been good enough of late.
You weren't suggest. I got to be clear here. You think the fall away came through a new manager with a new approach, not that the players went, well, the guy that's not here isn't here any longer, so I'm not going to try as hard, because that's not fair. That's the point I'm making.
No, people need to understand when there isn't. I've very rarely seen players not try. There might be a flippancy to how you see their body language and their personality. And we judge. And I watched Liverpool the other day. I don't think I was sitting here. I wasn't calling them so-and-so this and so that. And they looked round-shouldered. But when you're in the middle of it, Jürgen Klopp will obviously tell you, most managers will tell you, it's very rare that a player really, really, really does just throw the towel in. Sometimes you find yourself in that moment where everything you try, and sometimes the harder you try, the harder it is to actually get out of the rut. And when they made the appointment of Gareth, I thought, this is what a really good appointment that is. All the three managers that have been there this year, I know quite well, Bealey and obviously Critch and now Gareth, and they're all completely different personalities. You'd argue Critch has come through a very similar schooling to Michael
which is why it was an inspired appointment from QPR to try and keep it in the family and keep the continuity. Now, take your point on personalities. I just took umbrage for a moment because I thought, if you're working in a shoe shop and the manager of that branch leaves and moves on, it doesn't give you the excuse not to go looking for the 9.5s when some bloke wants them, does it?
Save the fellow who comes in, moves the shop around at the back office and puts a 9.5 in the bottom corner rather than the top right-hand corner. And he goes to the top right-hand corner and they've gone.
Good point. We need to move on. What size shoe do you take, Carl? What size shoe are you?
8.5, 9.
Okay. I think they're still where they were if you go in my shoe shop that I've just made up. So if you need a pair, we should be fine. Let's switch to the other end of the Sky Bet Championship. Have we given Rob Edwards and Luton Town enough TLC? Because, you know, there's been all this concentration on Michael Carrick and the surge with Borough, and there are Luton with seven games to go on equal points with Middlesbrough. It's astonishing the season that man has had, and astonishing how Luton Town keep getting so much out of the resources at their disposal, is it not?
I think if you look at in that top six, I'm just looking here, what the manager's done at Borough is incredible. I think that Burnley and Sheffield United, you'd half expect that, Glenn, wouldn't you? You'd half expect them to be there. But the next three, Millwall, Luton and Borough, what their managers have done and what the football club's done this season has been quite incredible. And I really hope that, I think Luton will definitely stay in there. I hope Millwall stay in there from the extent of, obviously, Gary Rabbit's done a great job, and they're not, with all due respect to Millwall, and hopefully this doesn't offend anybody either, they haven't got the power maybe to go and spend that, maybe like that's a Watford or West Broms or the Norwiches of this world, but they've managed by hook or by crook to find a team that seems to find that sweet spot. And that's something that I think Gary does really well.
I am just going to let everybody know there is a scenario in which Burnley will be promoted this weekend. Do you know what? I've been espousing this theory all day, and nobody, including producer Dave, has backed my maths up on this, but I've checked, double-checked and triple-checked. If Luton drop points away at Millwall on Friday lunchtime and Burnley win at Middlesbrough in the evening game, then Burnley will be back in the Premier League at the first attempt. And again, listen, we talked a lot about Burnley when you were on a few weeks ago, but you have to praise the man who's led the team, don't you? I mean, Vincent Kompany's just been inspirational, just been remarkable.
There's nothing. When I come on this show, I come and speak to you as a manager with my fans' mentality sometimes crossing over. So when I speak, I do speak quite a lot about the managers because I know the emotional attachment they go through in the Football League season. And he's another one. Trying to pick the manager of the season in the Championship this year is going to be very, very difficult. But I think because of the strength of the points tally and being promoted so soon, he's obviously will be the outstanding sort of candidate, and he deserves all the plaudits going to come his way.
Yeah, keep talking for 2 seconds. I'm just redoing the maths to be absolutely sure I've got this right, as nobody is willing to back me up on this. What I've said is correct. Burnley are up if they win at Borough and Luton drop points. Your Sky Bet Championship fixtures on Good Friday. Then your early kickoff is 5th place Millwall against 4th place Luton Town, have won 4 out of 5. 6th place Blackburn entertain 7th place Norwich. There's a battle down at the bottom as Blackpool take on Cardiff. QPR, we've just been talking about, are at home to Preston. Reading at home to Birmingham. Sheffield United entertain Wigan. And then it is Borough against Burnley, the leaders, heading for promotion in your evening kickoff. Full round of fixtures on Easter Monday, and they include Burnley against Sheffield United, the top two facing each other into Skybet League One. What's going on with Sheffield Wednesday, please? I mean, 2 points from a possible 12 since they completed their 23-match unbeaten run, no wins in their last 5.
I still think they've got enough Sheffield Wednesday to get over the line.
Okay. So they no wins in 5 for them. Ipswich had their big blip, only won 2 out of 10, but have subsequently won 7 in a row. Spectacular. Peterborough have worked themselves into the playoff places. Looked dead and buried a few weeks ago. We had Darren Ferguson on. He didn't say that, but it was a tall order. But he's won 9 of his 15 matches in charge to take that last playoff spot as it stands. But I'm going to ask you a question I've asked of a few people. Why these blips sometimes? How can Derby win 6 in a row, 7 out of 8, and then now have only won 3 of the last 11 to drop out of the playoff places? Why would Sheffield Wednesday? Is it like when you achieve a big statistic or a sort of mesmerizing statistic, you subconsciously take your foot off the gas a little bit?
I think sometimes we can become victims of, first and foremost, of the success that you've gained before that. I think secondly, you tend to find you may overcoach at times because you care and players care, and then the emotional aspect of it. I think the ones who find themselves coming out of that rut a little bit quicker than others seem to have a very steely and a calm sense of personality as a team, as a unit, and don't get too high when they win and don't get too low when they lose. And for me, there's no way, none of us can put our finger on it. I've been in unbelievable runs, Clem, where you just feel that every game you go into, you're just going to just steamroll the team that you're playing against. And equally, I've also been on the other side of it when I've looked at my team on a Saturday morning and gone, "Ooh, come on." And you sort of, you do have that element of that. We're human beings. People forget that. We're not robots. We have the emotional aspect of it. We have the fear. People getting the sack. You've got this time of year, people's contracts are up. Your families, there's so many other things that come into consideration when you're going through difficult times. And fundamentally, you care for the football club. Wherever I've worked, I've loved the club I've worked for and care for the football club. So you put that, your family, your friendships with people, then you put the care on your players, then you start worrying about the fans. And it just becomes a spiraling. I think the one big thing over the years, even though I couldn't get out of it this year, but I've always been quite good at getting out of difficulty. I tend to park that and become the best version of you and get excited by the challenge. And you look at the ones who are going through it, Darren Moore's been there, managed a lot of games now, Warney's done the same. They're just good people. And I think that the players will see that in them. And I know that they'll certainly, for me, I'm not too sure at the weekend with Sheffield Wednesday, if I'm being honest, but I can still see them being a team to get in the top two.
Your Sky Bet League One fixtures on Good Friday. Amongst them are fourth place Barnsley travelling to Burton. Bolton, fresh from their Papa John's Trophy win, are going to Exeter. They're in good form at the moment. Four wins in their last seven. Forest, Green Rovers entertain seventh place Derby as they now are. Third place Ipswich are at home to eighth place Wycombe Wanderers. Plymouth, with a game in hand on Sheffield Wednesday, just behind them on goal difference there at Morecambe. Sheffield Wednesday, as Carl said, are at Oxford, and Peterborough in sixth go to Shrewsbury again. Full range of fixtures on Easter Monday. You mentioned that the bottom of League One looked pretty much done to you. Is there an air of those teams that have been really maximising their return on their resources, hitting the wall? It's just one step too far to expect them to do it ad infinitum.
Accrington, Morecambe and Cambridge, I'm sure Forest Green only come up last season. John Coleman, what he's done, I think we spoke last time, he's overachieved year in, year out. And I think you're right. I think that they've had an awful lot of sendings off as well, Clem, in the last five or six games. I don't know the exact number. Every time I see him see Accrington play, there seems to be a red card next to it.
I've had my one attempt at maths for this episode. I won't be trying to add up the Accrington Stanley sendings off while you speak.
I went to watch Morecambe play MK last week as well. And they just looked, and then obviously they had another difficult game against Barnsley in the week. And then you see Cambridge, you know, they beat Porthvale 2-0 away. I just feel that Oxford, MK above them, I probably got a little bit too much for me. So it's not so much the lack of quality that the teams that are in there. I just feel that the teams that are above them have got some really good players. And I think on certain days, it'll be a very, very difficult ask for all of them.
And does form have to turn in the end as well? Because obviously the Oxford run that cost you your job is still ongoing. They're not in brilliant form by my reckoning. It's only three
That's
points.
From the last...
Pardon?
That's still, my still your...
No, well, that's very humble of you, but my point is this. 3 points from a last possible 36, at some point that form has to change. And collect a 3 points or even two lots of 3 points, and it'll be good enough to keep them up.
I don't know what, Clem, it wasn't just performances for Oxford. They've been incredibly unlucky this year, and some of the games, I watched a bit of the game against Morecambe at Morecambe, and I thought they were very good on the day. And Morecambe scored a last-minute goal to get the point back. that's just been the story of Oxford United season this year. They've just been on the end of some really difficult and harsh decisions and some poor performances in there as well. Like, not everything's luck. And you are right. You look at, I think for the first time, the three that I was desperate to play, Clem, which was Wiltshire, Murphy and Brown behind Sam Bulldog, I never got that chance to play at any stage through injuries. And seeing now they've got Brownie back fit and Josh Murphy back fit and Yannick fit, I just feel that they'll have too much. And I've seen MK the other week as well. By the way, a note for the manager at MK, what a great job he's done picking up, I think it was 10 points out of the possible 12 in the last four games. I think it was 3-1-0 wins and a 2-2 against Wickham at the weekend. That's a tremendous return and some really difficult and pressurised games. One was Accrington, one was Morecambe. I'm guessing on the third one, and I'm playing Wickham at the weekend. Fair play. He's done a really good job in his first year managing the EFL, coming in throughout the course of the season and really managed to steady this year.
Yeah, it was four wins in their first 20 matches under Liam Manning at 7-20 since Mark Jackson took over in the Sky Bet League 2. We're talking about blips. Sometimes as well, it's better to get yours out of the way before, well, definitely before the running. I'm thinking of Northampton Town. Four wins in their last six after one in their previous six, and there'll be a steely determination to hang on to an automatic promotion place after what happened to them at the end of last season.
Yeah, isn't it? I don't think people speak about big moments in football. I remember seeing that, because obviously the last game of the season, we all kick off at different times and different days, from the Championship to League One to League Two, so you manage to see these games unfold. And that was something that I don't think I've ever seen. Obviously, what Bristol Rovers did on that day was something for them. I don't know how you come back from that. Plenty in the playoffs, which they found it difficult too. And to find himself in that this year, I think there'll be a time. I think even they will say to you at the end of the season, maybe not whilst they're in the season, that there'll be a moment where they will reflect, and there'll be a lot of players who are involved in both campaigns, last one and this one this year. And they will be 100% desperate to try to avoid being in the playoffs this year.
Yeah. That said, we should commend, I mean, Carlisle themselves been on a little blip by their previously high standards over the last four games, but they are in, let's do this. Stevenage in third, so the last automatic promotion place, yep, on 68 points. Behind them, having played a game more, on 66, are Carlisle. Behind them, same number of games as Carlisle, on 64 points, are Stockport. Also, Bradford on 64, but they've only played 38. And then Salford, 63, played 39. There's a few bits we could pick out there. I mean, first of all, Mark Hughes, great, great job he's done. I mean, again, I used the word humble a few minutes ago. I would sum him up, wouldn't he? Everybody looked at him and was going, no, 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 this can't possibly work, etc. But he's dug in there in a rich old vein of form.
Yeah, I'm going to go off topic here, but also what a season Barrow have had. Just looking here, sat in ninth position off where they were last season. So yeah, they've done a good job. But again, can we go back to the level of the football in this country? It's brilliant. And we've spoke the earlier Championship, the playoff campaign, the relegated teams in relegation. Then we went to League One, we looked at the teams, what they've done. And then we speak about the teams at the bottom. And then you look at the top of League Two, and Leighton Orient have been brilliant all season. They've been so consistent, like we said last time we were on the show, and Northampton recently picking up. Stevenage started, they came out of the traps really well. And then obviously Carlisle have come from nowhere, and Stockport got promoted and seem to have really took it to League Two. Be interesting to talk about Stockport when you see the level of the conference this year, Clem, and how well Notts County and Wrexham are doing. I really hope them to end up in the EFL next season, two really big football clubs. And it'd be interesting to see them, how they compete next year, to see how well Stockport have done this year. And Salford, that's a story in itself, as we all know.
Can we talk about them? Because they've done a lot of chopping and changing of managers, but I don't know. They obviously knew a lot about Neil Woods, the former Man United under-23s coach. 17 debuts, I think, so far this season, might even be a few more after the January window. They seem to have found a stability, and it seems to be paying off for Salford City.
I knew of the manager. I remember we were playing Bolton this year, last season. And we were sat in the hotel having a glass of water.
Okay, and thanks for clarifying.
He would come in. They played Man United 23s, had played. And he actually come and sat and had a good conversation for a good hour about football, the EFL. And he was really, oh, sometimes you know 23s people, but he really clued into where teams were, asked a lot of questions about a lot of players. I know it goes off topic a little bit, but I think it's important to people understand the knowledge of some of these managers who come in. There's no coincidence that when they do come in, they seem to find a higher level of performance, should we say, and a more of a consistency. And it's probably the most consistent Salford they've been since they've been in League Two. He's done a bit. He obviously knows the ownership really well. He would have worked with them at a certain stage at Manchester United. I think the players would be very, very well coached, as you well know, with everyone now with these Category 1 academies. Have got tremendous coaches in. But to find that steely bit of grit and determination in two boxes is fundamentally the biggest difference in 23's football and EFL games. And he seems to put that together where they play decent football, but in both boxes, they seem to be really aggressive.
Your Good Friday fixtures in Sky Bet League 2. Carlisle in 4th, entertain Tranmere. 6th place, Bradford go to Crawley. Hartlepool, fresh from their first win in 10, are at Grimsby. Northampton in 2nd are at Newport County. Rochdale under Jim McNulty, taking over from Jim Bentley, secured the club's 3rd win in 22 matches last weekend. They entertain Walsall. Salford it is, who entertain the leaders Leighton Orient. Richie Wellens returning to one of his former club's 3rd place. Stevenage are at home to Colchester, and Stockport in 5th are at Sutton United. Also, full range of fixtures on Easter Monday. How do you see the bottom of Sky Bet League 2? I mean, Rochdale have been in awful form, and there's still a big gap to make up. 8 points from safety at the moment.
They're done for me. They're gone for me.
Okay. Okay. Is there a danger? I mean, Crawley went on a little spurt, but they're still not out of it by any means. Ditto Colchester, who've obviously had another change of manager. This one not through choice when Matty Bloomfield elected to move to Wickham, or back to Wickham, I should say. Gillingham look as though they're starting to pull themselves clear. I mean, have you got one that you think will go with Rochdale?
I was watching Tranmere the other day play Harrogate against Dawsey, one of Dawsey's games. Mm-hmm. And
he's the interim manager since Mickey Mellon left.
Yeah,
Tranmere
and a few friends of mine, we all went to watch, a few of us, and Harrogate teams, listen, end up being a draw and tremendous set piece that got them back on level terms to Tranmere. But it's seen that Harrogate have got some decent players, Clem. Some good players at certain stages and looked like a real team. That might sound a silly comment to people, but it looked, there seems to be a cohesion amongst them. And that's an important thing, especially this time of year, to have that. I hope Hartlepool will stay up. I really do. Nothing against anybody else. I like, I don't know, I've got a soft spot for Hartlepool. I don't know why. I don't know where it comes from, but I really do hope they stay up.
Yeah. Well, it's because us Northeasterners are very nice people and we deserve to have good things in our life. And obviously, having already dropped out of the EFL in the last decade, we don't want them going again. If I could offer you any pair of shoes in an 8.5, 9, your chosen size, and I was willing to buy them for you. I'm not. This is just a hypothetical situation because you might choose a very expensive shoe. What kind of shoe do you desire and covet at the moment, Carl? Is it a cowboy boot? Is it a trainer? Is it a little soft moccasin because summer is coming? What kind of shoe would you like to add to your collection should you be afforded a free pair at the moment?
I'm very, very, people tell you, know me, mate, I'm a shoe addict. I love trainers. And I always wore Adidas. I tried to bring superstars back. So I wore superstars on the touchline for the last 3 or 4 years. I love them. But my daughter's been having a go at me saying that, like, Dad, that's an old person's one now. You've got to get wearing Nike stuff. And, mate, I've not got a clue what's right or wrong. I get told off by my daughter for looking too old. And I get told off by everyone else for trying to be too young. But I'm on the touchline, mate. I'm just a pair of Adidas superstars. I tried to put a pair of Gazelles back on for one of my games. And I wore them. My daughter said, if you put them on, I won't speak to you again. So I stuck with superstars.
Yeah, it's nice to know that so much thought goes into all these different aspects of running a team and making football happen in this country. You're not getting a new pair of shoes, so you can go away and look them up all you like, but you won't be getting any. But you will get a big thanks for joining us on this week's episode of the Official EFL Podcast, Carl.
Cheers, pal. Thanks for having me again.
That's it for this episode. A big thank you to Carl Robinson. If you've enjoyed it, please do give us a 5-star rating. Press the subscribe button and share on your socials. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is podcast@efl.com. That's podcast@efl.com. I'm Mark Clement. Join us again soon for another episode of
The Official EFL Podcast.